November 11, 2020, this program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Mirage Speaks, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. With Allah's name, the Merciful Benefactor, the Merciful Redeemer, As-salamu alaykum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. My topic this evening is Al-Islam, the Tafsir of Imam Waqifuddin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blogtalkradio.mirajspeaks.com and you'll be able to listen to the talks that you have missed. So we'll begin this evening with the Ramadan session. The topic will be man and the universe as mates created for each other. Its timeless relevancy. Lecturer, Imam W.D. Muhammad. And we will open with the chapter 1 from the Holy Quran, Al-Fatiha. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Maliki Yawmiddin. Iyaka Na'abudu wa Iyaka Nasta'in. Ihdina Siratal Mustaqim. Siratal Ladina An'amta Alayhim. Ghayril Maghdubi Alayhim Waladdallin. Dear beloved Muslim believers, peace be unto you. Ramadan Mubarak. We thank Allah for this month of Ramadan, the month of fasting, a month in which there are many blessings according to the Word of God in the Quran. We thank Him for our presence today and for our life and health, and we pray that He always is with us, guide us, and grant us mercy. It is important to know and remember that the first word of communication to our prophet was read, Iqra. Read in the name of your Lord who created. Praise be to Allah, highly glorified is He, the creator of everything, and in the words of the Quran, He is Al-Kali Kuli Shay. Whatever man created is the creation of God also. That is, what is of lasting value comes from God's creation. God's creation is the universe and everything contained in it, including man. So the great and the most high creator created man as a thinker for man to engage creation. The study of man's development as a thinker or a philosopher or a scientist on the one hand, and as a human community on the other hand, presents an interaction showing the two concerns working together as mates to address the relevancy of a timeless nature in the history of the community development for civilized society. Allah Most High says that He created for man mates of the same nature, and one reference that is, and Allah, highly glorified is He, says also that man's female counterpart is man's tillith. Tillith is an area to be cultivated or an area under cultivation. In another Quranic reference, Allah, creator, says the size of the garden created for man to engage with his heart and with his intelligence is as the size of the expanse of the skies and the earth, the universe, everything. Relevancy, many critics of religion, and especially scripture, Bible and the Quran, they say that the thing that people build their life on in religion and what was revealed or what came to them through their prophets who received revelation has little or no relevancy now in this modern time or in the world. Relevancy means important meanings. The relevancy for the man in times past, present, and in the future is understood by recalling how progress for the nation are recorded in history and explained as a result of that resourceful earth and universe engaged by human hearts and the human brain. So this is what we learn from history of man and his role in the universe or in the material world. In commenting on relevancy regarding the command, read, firstly, reflecting on the treasures of knowledge recorded in history as the accomplishment of civilizations. Those treasures were found in some form already existing, whether in the earth or in the study of the skies or the stars. Allah says, through his servant and messenger Muhammad, upon him be the peace, read in the name of your Lord who created. Obviously, our prophet Muhammad understood the connection from human hearts and intelligence when God introduced himself as the creator in his first communication to Muhammad. Human society, whether as a small number of neighbors or landowners coming together upon common interests, or town folks or city dwellers, most important of the bond holding individuals together is a common bond of shared space on the land. So the land is a creation of God, and the people are a creation of God. So God made land for the people and made their people for the land. The more people that engage land, the better their conditions, the more developed will be the land. Moreover, the land will be providing its fruits or its products, serving man's needs, often for more than generations. So what a beautiful parable given in Scripture comparing the relationship of husband to wife to the relationship of a developer and the earth or the land. So we praise Allah and we thank him for his most valuable gift, the gift of the ideal human type for us to emulate Muhammad the prayers and the peace be upon him. And for the marvelous system of matter commonly referred to as the universe, we pray we will always follow the words of God and the leadership example of his servant and messenger, the last prophet, Muhammad. Our Lord, give us in this world good and in the destiny good, and save us from the punishment of the fires of our wild passion. Note for the lecturer, the speaker takes a sitting position, making a short dua, begin the second part of the khutbah. Praise be to God, the Lord, sustainer of all the worlds. And we salute him, his servant, and messenger Muhammad, with the traditional salute, the prayers and the peace be upon him, and what follows of that traditional salute. Praise be to Allah, and highly glorified is he. He says in the Quran that he took his servant and messenger Muhammad on the night visit up into the sky, to the furthest masjid, Al-Aqsa. Dear beloved gathering here, or a congregation of believers, as it is recorded soon after this marvelous event in the life of our prophet, he answered the invitation from the people of Medina to come from the strange situation he was in, and his followers, the strain on his mission caused by disgruntled Meccans, even amongst them his own relative, two of his uncles. He went to Medina where a warm reception was awaiting him. This event designated the beginning of a new calendar, a new series of events, a new history. Soon, a community fulfilling the need of people belonging to a cohesive society took shape and form. Education, the lifeblood, and Select the Life were established as a core concern or nucleus for binding others, the concern necessary for the complete design or picture of an Islamic society. The persecuted plan for Islamic community life on this planet was given a situation for its realization. Whatever is desired to be accomplished first need the right situation. So if you want to drive a car to see neighbors at a distance, away, first there must be the right situation. There must be a car drivable and a person qualified to drive. A man wanting to board up something needs the right situation. There has to be things on hand. He is not comfortable to get to work until the site is ready. The tools are with him. And he is clear as what to do. So this is said to make what was given in the first part of the khutbah or lecture more understandable. Praise be to Allah, the creator of everything. The potent and the pregnant term read for scriptural understanding when connected with expressions, the creator, and his further connecting to creation is what situated our prophet's heart and mind to understand his calling, what he was to do, his mission, what it would be all about. So our most important concern, family survival and progress, children, education, and their future communities' survival and progress, institutions and industry, though the wicked dispute nature with their brain, life progresses. Firstly, God's guidance is to be relied upon for us to have the right situation, to have the development for our own souls, for our community, to have education, to have our further prepared for the next generation. For our children, we need the right situation. So if we rely upon Allah, on the guidance that He's given in the Quran, and on the model person for us to emulate, Muhammad, the prophet, the prayers, and the peace be upon him, we will have the right situation. Dua, which is a prayer. Our Lord, you are surely gathering all humanity for a day in which there will be no doubt. Our Lord, do not have our hearts turned back after you have guided us aright and gives us from your presence, mercy. Surely, you are the creator. Ameen. Iqamah, the call for standing in prayer. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, the praise and the thanks is for God. We thank him for the gifts and the blessings of the model human person, Muhammad, the honorable and noble servant and messenger of God, and what follows of that salute or that traditional salutation to the last prophet, the seal of the prophets mentioned in the Bible, as it is given in the Quran. Now, you are not familiar with this, I don't think, but the descendants of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, some of my brothers, some of my sisters' nephews, nieces and grandnephews and great nieces, they have gotten together and formed a wonderful project to commemorate the work, the contribution to us, and to society, to the world, from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. They are really a beautiful group. So the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and my mother, Clara Muhammad, were blessed with some beautiful, bright, educated, and professional grandchildren, as well as children. I don't want to leave us out. I just wanted you to be aware of this, because it is going to really be wonderful and really great. In fact, they are meeting today, tomorrow, and Sunday, this weekend, here in the Chicago area. So we pray that Allah blesses their efforts. And I'm sure they are going to get a lot of support for the commemorative center that would have the works of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and his contributions. I just wanted to bring that to your attention. So I know a lot of you care about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and his works. Yes, so we care a lot about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and his works. And we care a lot about families of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And I think that Allah, that we are blessed to have some very bright professional youngsters in the family amongst the descendants of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Thank you. I just wanted to bring that to your attention. It looks like we are nearly ready now. And please, Brother David, see me at the meeting. We have an appointment, brother. Hold it. So Brother David, he has never done this, but some people run up to me and they want people to think that they have given me something extremely valuable. And some of them wants you to think that they are giving me money. They run up to me and give me something. And most of the time when I get home, I can't even read it. But I can't blame them. All of these good-looking brothers and sisters are out here, and they want them to know that they are here too. About 3 years ago, almost now, I noticed how the crowds were growing for the yearly annual Ramadan session. And I said, I believe in our hearts in the month of Ramadan. These sessions are replacing the old annual Nation of Islam Saviors Day that we used to come to. Our spirit was for that every year. All of us were in the spirit to come to Chicago to hear the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and to meet one another once a year for Saviors Day. So I think the Ramadan session is kind of replacing that. I believe it is going to grow as big as Savior's Day used to be. It is growing fast. So we are going to have to find a larger place. I promise you the next Ramadan session, inshallah, it only means if it please God. I say that because we never know what is going to happen to me or to anybody. But I feel now like I got most of my life ahead of me. But that's the spirit, you know. So inshallah, we will definitely get away from this situation. So we won't have it like this. Well, we'll find a bigger place, and we'll have a place to accommodate everybody, because I don't like you inconvenience like this, standing and others sitting. I don't like that. I promise you next year, it won't be this way. You'll have a place to sit. This is when we like the press to come in and report. They like to report when you have empty seats. But inshallah, we will remedy it some kind of way. Even if we had chairs there, it is not place to put the chairs. So we are going to have to get a larger place. Community of human beings. The Jummah Khutbah, the two-part lecture, was on the relationship that man has to the universe But man here is plural. It means the community of human beings, descendants of Adam, the first father Adam. And its relevancy, its importance for us now, the past, present, but most importantly, it's important for us to know in this time that we are living in this crowded world, that we are living in, we believe in the timeless nature of revelation, the Quran, or revealed words from God. The Quran and what was revealed before it is timeless. That is, it fits into all times. It fits into all times. So Judgment Day is continuous. The essential nature or essence of human life created by God does not change its nature. Its nature does not change, so those who survive with their original nature, they can be revived if they are slumbering or sleepy and negligent or whatever by God's words if presented to them correctly, even if they are dead. They can be resurrected if the word of God is presented to them correctly. Now you say, well, if they're dead, that is on Judgment Day. Well, we believe that Judgment Day is a continuous. So this is Islamic beliefs. There will be a final standing or day of judgment, but judgment is all the time. And the resurrection is not as important for the individual who lives and dies as it is for community life that lives and dies. So we should understand that. Muhammad, the prophet who received the Quran, became the leader of a new community, an international community now of over 1.25 billion on this earth. And we should understand that life was given to nations, to communities all over the planet, Earth, who were sleeping or mentally dead, but they were awakened to life by the Quran and the teaching, leadership, and example of Muhammad the Prophet. Upon him be the prayers and the peace. So, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, we witness God is one and cares about all of his creation, especially his human creation, and the model human life that is amplified in the life history of Muhammad, the prophet. Upon him be the prayers and the peace. For this session, the first day of this session, we will be discussing revealed scripture, the cultivation of the human soul, is education, and the right perception of human identity. So the first identity for humans is the identity given by God. If we understand the Quran and also the Bible on the genesis of man, how we came to exist as humanity and civilized society, how we came to exist on this planet Earth, if we would understand it, we understand that the first identity for humans is the identity given by God, not what is given from Dawah, Dwayne, about us descending from apes or monkeys. It is the identity that God revealed of us, and we believe that this identity was conceived in paradise and then later formed in the earth. So the Prophet Muhammad, upon him be the prayers and the peace, is a model of human excellence for all believers to emulate. And these believers include more than Muslims. God says in the Quran that he is an excellent model for any who believe in God and the last day and believe that they have to account before God, believe that they should be accountable to their creator. God, any who believes that Muhammad is an excellent model for them. So for the prophets are to be seen as singular and plural figures. In the Quran is also in previous scriptures, Adam, Abraham, Jesus Christ, and other prophets, figures or prophets, servants of God, are to be seen as singular, but also as plural figures. That means they do not only represent themselves individually, but what is more important for us to, for us students. I say us students because I'm always a student. The prophet said education to get knowledge is an obligation on the Muslim from the cradle to the grave. And that is spirit of most of us. So our spirit is to continue to seek the word of God and to seek understanding. That's our spirit. And no matter how old we get on the calendar, that doesn't change. The spirit stays young. So each of these great prophets, and I did not name all of them, I just named a few of them. They mean ones, the main ones. I did not mention Moses, but all of those prophets. They are special types of what God wants us to become, ourselves. We should have the character, our character should be growing more like the character of Muhammad, the prophet. Our choices that we make in life should be guided by the principles that Muhammad, the prophet, stood upon. So our choice will be good, will be right, will be the best choice. So we should follow him in his excellence, generally speaking. He also was an excellent husband to his wife. The more we know about him as a person in history, Islamic history, firstly, the more we can benefit from his excellent model of human life that God has shown us in the Quran. Muhammad is what we are created to be in our human excellence. So I could say to you and be correct that when you look at Muhammad's human excellence, you are looking at what you were created to be yourself. So you are looking at what you are created to be. God is not pointing us to something that is not our own self. He wants us to show what is each individual life, and as that life was planned, God the Creator. So God says in the second chapter of the Quran, verse 150, and I quote, So from when cometh soever thou startest forth, turn thy face in the direction of the sacred mosque, and wheresoever you are, turn your face thither. Now this is old English. It means turn your face in that direction, towards what has been mentioned, the sacred mosque, that there be no grounds of dispute against you amongst the people of the book, except from them that are bent on wickedness. That means they are just opposed with doing those bad things. They are fixed there. They can't get out of it. They are determined to keep up their wicked ways, bent on wickedness. So fear them not, but fear me. That's God speaking. So fear them not, but fear me, that I may complete my favor on you, and ye may be great guided. And you know, in the beginning of the Quran, after Al-Fatiha, which you are reading the Quran, God tells us of the book, Hudan ila muttaqin is a guidance for the pious, for those who reverence God in what he has established to be reverence. Hudan ila muttaqin. A similar verse I'll give you now addresses what we are bringing forward now in verse 151 of the same chapter 2, and God says, a similar favor have you already received, and that we have sent amongst you. The Arab language is fikun. Fikun. It literally means in you. And that we have sent amongst you a messenger of your own rehearsing to you our sound and purifying you and instructing you in scripture and wisdom and in new knowledge. Turn your face in the direction of the sacred mosque. Now let us go back to some of what we have recited from the Quran for some comments. God says to us, prophets, turn your face toward the sacred mosque. And God says to all of us after that, he says to you, speaking to all believers, you all turn your faces toward the sacred mosque. All believers, all followers of Muhammad, all Muslims are instructed by Allah to turn their face toward the sacred mosque. And he says, God says, that is, no matter from where, what place we are coming or what place we are in, he wants us to turn our face toward the sacred mosque. You know, we do that in prayer, right? And he tells us, which is the promise from God, that if we do that, follow that, no matter where we are on the earth, he will bring us all together. God says by it, he will bring us all together. So there is a lot of struggling in the mind of scholars and religious leaders of Islam over our lack of unity. The way to unite us is very plain and clear. No matter where we are, I'm in the United States. We are in the United States. Other leaders for their people are in India, in Egypt, in Pakistan, in Spain, in Africa, all over the world, in the Philippines, all over the world. God says wherever we are, he will bring us together. So the sacred mosque with no roof over it. But to be brought together, we all must agree in one Qibla. It is the sacred mosque, Masjid Haram. So this is no ordinary mosque. And you know it does not have a roof over it. The part that is covered by a roof is an addition, added to accommodate the growing crowds that come to make Hajj pilgrimage every year. But when you make the circle around the Kaaba, salute the corners with the black stone in it, or wave to it and greet it, if you can't go there and actually touch it and kiss it, as Muhammad the Prophet did, at least you are supposed to wave to it. So you are supposed to put your open palm up facing, and when you might make the Hajj pilgrimage, and then you get into the circle with the pilgrims and you start going counterclockwise towards your left side and you make circles around the Kaaba. So this is Masjid Haram. This is the sacred mosque with no roof over it. You say, well, what about Kaaba, the house? It has a roof over it. That is not the sacred mosque. That open ground that we walk on around the house. All of that is the Masjid Haram. So you see, Masjid comes from the word meaning to prostrate, to make sajda, like we do when we finish our prayers. So with our nose and forehead and hands, knees, toes bent, a little bent like a little baby, as getting ready to crawl or something, that is sajda. And the mosque takes its name from the position masjid, from subject, or sajda, pardon me. So the masjid is the place of prostration. So the place of sajda, it does have to have any walls. It doesn't have to have any wall or anything. That is the masjid Allah said. Al-Aqsa, Masjidullah, the earth is Allah's masjid. So that means that anywhere you make salat is masjid at the time. And if you do it in on a regular basis, then that spot will become the masjid without any walls, no ceiling, nothing. That spot will become the masjid. So I'm talking to my students, and I'm trying to teach my students and those who do not see themselves as students, I am trying to teach all of you. Now, if you have a bad spirit, that's not my fault. I did not put that in you. I wouldn't say that if I didn't want all of you to benefit. I want all of you to benefit whether you like me or not. So you don't have to like me, just like what I like. You can dislike me. In fact, you can spit on my picture. That's okay as long as I know you like what I like. So you like the Quran? You like the right understanding of the Quran? You like Muhammad? You like the right understanding of Muhammad? I love you, whether you hate me or not. I don't care. Praise be to Allah. So we are leading up to a conclusion. I visited the Palestinian quarters and saw how bad they were being treated by the Israeli government. That regime, that time, and then I have the worst one now. I was given an opportunity to go and visit Masjid al-Aqsa and make prayer there. The Muslim guide showed us the direction for the Qibla there. And he said, see this name of this masjid? I said, yes, I did. He said, it is the masjid of the two Qiblas, Masjid Qiblatain. So the prophet was leading his followers to turn toward Jerusalem in the prayer. Allah never told the prophet to do that. But the prophet was not a person raised in any of the religions, and he didn't accept the worship of idols or to join the idol worshiper or the pagans in their way of life. So he was just like the person going on his own, not belonging to any religious order or way. And he stayed that way until God began revealing to him a Qibla that shall please you. So he knew how important Jerusalem was in the Christians and the Jews. So he led his followers in prayer, and they faced that direction. Later on here, in this presentation, we will come back to that. But for now, you know that it was changed, and the prophet was instructed by Allah, by his creator, by our creator, to turn towards the Masjid al-Haram in Mecca. Before Islam, that same city, though the Arabs called it Mecca, was called Becca. Now, so we are commemorating on this. I say, God says, and I quote, we see the turning of your face for the guidance to the heavens, the skies. Now shall we turn thee, now shall we turn you to a Qibla that shall please you. So this is clearly saying that Muhammad had been turned in that direction towards Jerusalem, but was not pleased with it. He didn't know what to do. And then God answered his stress situation and said, turn then your face in the direction of the sacred mosque. Wherever you are, turn your face in that direction. Then it says, the people of the book knew well that it is the truth from their law. Allah is not unmindful of what they do. So what is it saying? Don't just read and not think. This is saying that Christians and Jews knew, and now that the better Qibla for human beings on this earth is the Qibla that is in the Masjid Haram in Mecca. And at the site, a little sample cubicle house that has been reported in legends to cultural traditions, legends of the Arabs, as a house that was built by Abraham and his son Ishmael, not Isaac, peace be upon him, the prophet, because all of those that I mentioned are prophets. What's so valuable about this Qibla? And why do the people of the book do not acknowledge that Muhammad is turning to something that they are well aware of, and that it's turning to a direction that is more important for humanity? They are all over the planet Earth than the Qibla that he was turning to before, that was in Jerusalem. So one in Jerusalem, it is valued by Jews much, so much, because it has the ruins there of a great kingdom that they once had, and they said that kingdom was under the prophet Solomon, the wise. So the temple of Solomon is there. And during his time, they achieved great success. And he had a great kingdom. And people of other races, other religions, all of them were impressed with that kingdom. And many of them had a good life. Not Jews, people of different cultures, Africans, and others had a good life there because of the great advance they made for civilization. So the Jews turned back. They weep at the weeping wall, weeping the loss of a great kingdom. But that great kingdom was a kingdom of the Jews. And they addressed the Lord of God as the Lord of Israel. So this bothered our prophet. It bothered our prophet's heart. And he is turning in a direction towards something that is not compatible with his perfect idea, human soul, character, and intelligence. God's ways is always the best. So God says that he allowed him to worship that way. He allowed that to happen. God could have stepped in. God could have stepped in before he turned that way and had following him. God could have stopped that. But God said it was a test for his followers to bring out the strong that would be able to stand up. Can that of the people of the book be able to stand up? Israel to the Jews, to their leaders, and not tremble and shake, but be strong in their position behind Muhammad, the leader, Muhammad, the prophet, the prayers and the peace be upon him. So God said it is to test them to see who would turn amongst around. They say, now you are changing the direction. I'm through with this. You don't even know the direction. So you are not even sure which direction we should be praying in. So I'm going to join the Jews, or I'm going back to the idolaters, the idol worshipers. Yes, he wanted to test them. So, you know, I noticed the strong winds that come in spring, the month of March, introducing spring. Those winds are strong. They knock down weak stuff. They knock down rotten stuff, dead stuff. And then I notice at the end of the season, it comes again. Not quite like March. The strong winds come again, knocking down weak stuff, dead and rotten stuff. So when the next spring comes, the life is strong. And just in case it's not strong, winds will come again in the spring, in March. That's the way of God. All of these things are signs. God says, both in the Bible and in the Quran, it says these things are signs, but most of the people are unaware or don't pay attention, heedless. So the Honorable Elijah Muhammad kissed the black stone. So I heard the Honorable Elijah Muhammad once say, he made Umrah. He never made Hajj. He was going to Egypt and Pakistan, so he got permission to make Umrah. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the one who was calling all white people devils. So there were some white ones in the government leadership of the Hajj, administrators, Saudi Arabia, but they let him in. There we have his picture kissing the black stone. And he said of his making the Umrah there, when I kissed that stone, I felt like I was kissing myself. Now, what is this stone? Muhammad kissing the stone, the Prophet himself, prayers and the peace be upon him. He kissed the stone. And one of the caliphs said, if I had not seen him, he kissed that stone, I would have never kissed it. And I'm sure the Khalifa didn't have that insight. Or who are you to say that the Khalifa, the companion of the Prophet, didn't have insight? Understand that he had no knowledge just a few years before he saw prophets. Muhammad kissed the black stone. That Khalifa had no knowledge. They had to be educated in the scripture and in religion. And they had no history and had no light. And so they were actually ignorant of what the Christian knew and ignorant of what the Jews knew. Those Arabs that worship idols were ignorant of that. Even though this Khalifa never worshiped idols either. He was like Prophet Muhammad. There was a few people in that time did not go for that ignorance. They just did not have a religion. So Hanifah, they are called Hanifahs from Hanif. And Abraham is called the Hanif, Ibrahim, or Abraham the Hanif. And the Arabic-speaking people approved of the translation that Hanif means upright in his human nature. So that simply means that those people who were companions associated with each other because they had like minds and like spirits, like characters, and like similar values and principles. Their belief was that a human should live out the best of his life, and he should build upon the best of his life. He should never follow weakness and something that brings down his life. He should only follow strength and that which makes his life more excellent. And it is said by God in the Quran that this was the nature and the position of Abraham, Ibrahim, the Hanif, the upright in his nature. So continuing the commitment on this, the people of the book then are refusing to acknowledge something that is great, but though it is not acknowledged by them that Muhammad's Qibla is the better Qibla for all people in their churches, in their synagogues, and in their religion. It has been acknowledged by them in their search for the ideal society, how to establish the best government for the people. I believe France was the first to think what is the best form of government for us have for all people who have progress and much less problems than we have with those other forms of government. We have experience and here thinkers, their philosophers arrived at the idea of collective rule, collective authority, that we now call the common refers to as democracy. So the identity is human. Our democracy in these United States comes to birth upon a perception of the human being as a creation with rights that you can't take away from him. You can't violate these rights of the human being, the human person, and that is the rights belong to each human being person, that we be accepted in the citizenry by virtue of their own natural composition, that they have these rights simply because they are human. The identity is human. So if the identity is human, then they are entitled to these rights by virtue of their own identity and composition, not made by man, not made by government, but inherent in the very flesh of every person. So this is the position that these great philosophers took, and we have this idea holding our political concepts together for this nation. So that's what holds the concepts together, the belief in the inalienable rights of the individual person, individual human person. Once you accept to be a citizen here, you have that recognition, and those rights are not to be taken from you or violated. And no government, nobody can take those rights from any individual human person. So we inherited the spirit of human community. So our government, France and other Western governments that have that as an adhesive, holding their ideology together, those governments have come to the Qibla of the Muslim. That is exactly what we believe. And I'm sure that they had the good intelligence and the heart and the nature, those who put together the idea for us for generations to come. I'm sure they also understood that this applies also to the collective body of people. It's more important as a possession of the human community than it is as a possession of the human individual. So what we inherit is the community spirit, so the spirit for human community. So we are not just inheriting properties that are to be established as properties of individuals, human life. No, we are inheriting an urge, a spirit, a direction in our life stream, our life flows, that will connect us with others who have the same. And the purpose of it is for us to form a social community, a community of people. And that is why God says in the Quran, highly glorified is he, that the creatures that goes about on this earth, they have community like yours. It's in the Quran. And you have read it, many of you, that it is to tell us that it is not only a description of human life, this is the description of life, period. So you don't have to search your imagination too much to agree with those things who say that even plant life exists in community. Grass wants to be with grass. It so happens that way, trees with trees. That is the forest, isn't it? Community life, if you don't have the right Qibla and your life hasn't been interrupted and confused by worlds that reject the real Qibla or in ignorance of the real Qibla, you will be unconscious in your own nature. It will be unconscious in your own makeup to come to that idea or that belief, that recognition that I am human. I should mate with other humans. If a black is not human and you are black, the human shouldn't mate with the non-human. No, humans is first, not Africa, not Europe, not white or black, yellow or red. The excellent model is the pure human type. So the human is first. That is your valuable properties, that you are human. That is your sacred property, that you are human. It would be better that you are human and keep your own identity with your people. But if all of your people turn to another Qibla that makes them wild and crazy, filthy, and inhuman, then you leave all of your people and you become white, yellow, red, or anything. These things rather than to give up your humanity. You see, this is where we should be when we are reading the Quran and reading about Muhammad's excellent model. The excellent model is not an Arab. The excellent model is the pure human type that God wants in every human walking the earth. So if God had awakened him in his Arab identity and fastened him to his Arab identity, he never would have been known. He would have not gotten anywhere. But God didn't wake him up in his Arab identity. God woke him up in his human identity, and God gives us a sign, a Qibla, that identifies us with our original nature, our original life, our original pattern that God planned for all people. Distortion began to come from the PA system. I didn't know this great wisdom could do all of that. Mr. Farad said, when the time comes, you are going to hear sirens. Praise be to Allah. It used to bother me, but it doesn't anymore, because I know Allah is with us. And whatever happens, God says, come willingly or unwillingly. The system just couldn't take it anymore. So when managing our life, becomes too troublesome for us, and aren't we the right now, when it comes to the public life, it is too troublesome for us, we can't handle it. We can't turn them around. We can't speak to them. And they respect what we are saying. So what happens? We who want to keep the valuable human life, we turn to the supernatural for those who are already in the religion like Christians and Jews. We turn to the strength of our religion. For Muslims, it is the same. So we turn to the strength of our religion, but sometimes right direction is so confused, even in our religion, we say, I just can't find any help. I've been reading this Bible and I can't find any help. Now, this may surprise you. I've been reading this Quran and I just can't find help. So I have heard it. So we turn to the supernatural by some name and something by no name. Well, I don't know that, what his name is. I know that there is God, but I just can't be comfortable anymore with what I have been following. Sadaqallahu al-Azim, surely Allah speaks the truth. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. We thank New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Murad Speaks, for allowing us to come before you once again. And we thank you, may God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding. We will continue this tomorrow at 7 p.m. as I greet you in the Arabic language. Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. And once again, thank you for listening.